Time to recap McCook City Council meeting number 2 for the month of July. In our studio is City Manager Nate Schneider. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Rich?
Doing good. Doing good. Councilman Jared Muhlenkamp makes his way back to us again.
Hey, Rich. Beautiful morning.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good to see you this morning.
Good to see you.
It's awfully good. You just made our... Nate makes your day, doesn't he?
He does. Oh, he brightens sure. everywhere he goes.
Exactly so. Right.
It could be dreary and overcast, but yeah. Jared's going to make it sunny.
Right.
And
Fatherhood, going okay? Oh, okay? Pretty good?
Yeah. New kid just, what, a little over a month ago?
Sure.
So, yeah, it's crazy. It was hard to get here, you know, this morning.
You're sleeping through the night. Everything's cool there.
Yeah, I'm sleeping through the night, but... My wife is it.
You're not supposed to admit that on the radio.
Oh boy, yeah. No. Do not admit that at all.
Breastfeeding is a beast, you know. There's not much I can do in that situation.
Yep, you're out of the mix on that one, aren't you?
That's right.
It's all her on that one.
He tries though. He does try.
I can't believe he brought that up. But hey, why not? Yeah, huh?
It's not taboo anymore. People do it out in public now. So
yeah, that's right.
Yep, they sure do. All right, here we go. Enough of that. Let's get to the agenda. McCook City Council meeting number 2 for the month of July. We'll start first. Announcements, recognitions, anything there?
Jamie Mockery was here as a board member for the Freedom Festival, and they presented the city with, what was it,
$3,000
for emergency tactical equipment. So, yeah, they do a fundraiser. I wasn't here this year, so mm-hmm. I missed it, which is terrible because it's such a great event. But they raised some money for that. And the city also helps out and brings fire trucks and police cars and different things there. So great event, great people involved all around. And the city's, you know, very thankful for that $3,000.
Always have big crowds for it. They had another big crowd this year.
Yeah, no, they do a great job. And we appreciate the fact that they're willing to go ahead and take over the burden of doing the fireworks and then even going, you know, the extra mile and doing other activities. I think it's really cool. So hats off to the Freedom Festival board. And then also I know the McCook Christian Church is a big driver of that. So we appreciate all their work.
Public hearing regarding a blight and substandard study for redevelopment area number 6.
Man, I tell you what, we worked on this for quite a while leading up to the council meeting, and Leanne and I, we tried our best to make sure that the 3 big items that we had on there that had public hearings attached to them, that it was fairly simple to go through. But even with the simplicity of Leanne's instructions, state statute makes it pretty tough. So this is all community development law driven, and we have 2 big projects that we're doing. We are trying to develop a second phase to the business park. And so we've talked about that a little bit, Rich, as far as subdivision, annexation, rezoning, just east of the current business park. And so we've been doing quite a bit of that and a lot of discussions about that here recently. And then also on the housing side, we've been working a lot on the North Point project. So we actually got rid of our replatting process because it was too difficult for us to try to work through that with a project the size and scope of North Point, and started the vacation and then platting over the top of that vacated property process. That was just this last summer that we did that. And then we've done some annexations and some rezonings just to get to this point. So we're here, the culmination of all the hard work. We're finally there. So last night on the business park site, we had to conduct a blight and substandard study. The council mandated that staff start the process with respect to composing a blight and substandard study for the property that would comprise the new business park plus some additional property out there just east of town. And it's kind of a misnomer. Blight and substandard really doesn't mean blight and substandard. It doesn't mean that the properties aren't cared for. It just means that either because of age or obsolescence or whatever the case may be, there are some indicators that it meets the criteria of the Nebraska Community Development Law to allow for that designation to be made, so you can use TIF to try to make some improvements in that area. Ultimately, you know, it's an economic growth tool that the state has provided cities to try to upgrade and entice development, try to bring businesses, try to make sure that the properties are nice and upkept and all those kinds of things. And so those are things that we've been working on behind the scenes for a while. I think we actually approved Miller & Associates to do the blight and substandard study this past January or February. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
And we've been working, staff's been working with Dr. Jason Combs and Craig Bennett over at Miller & Associates to get this thing completed so that way we could move forward with the TIF portion of the business park. And so last night the council heard the presentation from Dr. Combs regarding the blight and substandard study. The finding was that that area does fit the definition that the state set for blight and substandard. Like I said, it doesn't mean that it's not cared for that it's bad property. It just means that it fits the definition. And one thing I tell property owners, if that designation is made to property that they own, it's actually a good thing because it usually means that your property has potentially more value for developers. And so maybe not now, but sometime in the future, if somebody ever says, hey, you know what, we you know, might be interested in developing this, you know, it gives them maybe a little bit of leverage as far as negotiations, because developers are looking for areas that have been declared blighted and substandard. They want to make sure that they can utilize tax increment financing assistance if they're project qualifies for it. You know, you got to pass the but-for test and all those things. But so anyway, we went through all the indicators of blight and substandard. I thought that Miller & Associates did a great job with their study. One of the questions that we had from Council Member Whedon was, are we going to exceed our 35% limitation with respect to what can be declared blighted and substandard? And the answer is no. We're going to be right around 30% by adding the area that's included in redevelopment area number 6. And then there were some additional questions, I think, just in reference to the overall process. But it's a very lengthy document. If anybody wants to come and read it, they're more than welcome to. We actually have it sitting at our office right now. Jared's got a copy of it in his hand. But it does a really good job of explaining the factors that are considered the reasoning and the logic behind the determination that the council made. So that was the first thing we did last night. We did the blight and substandard study. We had the public hearing on that, and then it was approved by the council. So redevelopment area number 6, we've had 5 of these already. Now this is number 6. It was approved, and that area now is available for tax increment financing.
Who put that together for it? I don't know who put that together. It looks pretty good.
Miller
and okay. Associate did it. Yeah. We didn't do it.
I thought maybe
you think I could work the copy machine like that? There's no way I could do that.
We could definitely do that.
I would have drop kicked the copier if I had to do that. Collating and stuff is
sure.
not my bag.
I thought maybe Jared's team did it. So anyway, no. But Miller did
they,
it.
They just do the work sure. in house. So I mean, sure. They know how to.
Cool.
They do these on a regular basis. So. Yeah.
Exactly right. We have another public hearing. Okay, that was for the McCook Business Park phase. That's done, right?
That was for the blight and substandard study, and then we went to the business park.
Yeah, phase 2 project. Yeah,
and that was the TIF portion. So the council had to approve the redevelopment plan and the redevelopment agreement. The CDA had to do the same as well too. And so that was approved. The redevelopment plan just basically states, hey, you know, this is the project. This is how we're going to remedy some of the blight and substandard concerns that the blight study that we just discussed had laid out. It talks about how the plan is going to corroborate our comprehensive plan's ultimate goals. And then it has a cost-benefit analysis. And the key to me is the cost-benefit analysis. And that's where you really kind of understand what this does for the city of McCook. The current valuation, so there is a lot 1 of the business park phase 2. There's a company that wants to build out there. And the current valuation for that lot number 1 is $108,000. When the business is built, constructed and finalized, when that valuation is taken, it's estimated that it's going to be $9.6 million in valuation. So the difference between that $9.6 million and $108,000 is your tax increment. And multiplying that by what was assumed to be the tax levy of 1.85, if I remember correctly, over a period of 15 years, it's going to generate $1.7 million of TIF that we can utilize to go ahead and build out streets, we can build out water, we can build out sewer, and that's projects that we as a city could not do but for tax increment financing. You know, like I said, the but for test is important. But for TIF, this project doesn't happen. We don't bring these jobs to McCook. We don't bring this development to McCook. That's an essential part of this. And if we can't build out the streets and water and sewer, we're never going to be able to bring these developers into our community. And so we've got to get proactive. We've got to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do to make sure that McCook survives. And this is the biggest tool that we have to do that. So the redevelopment plan itself, pretty standard, not that different than what we've typically done in the past. The only thing is it does cover all four lots that make up the new business park phase two. But it also sets out the Performance Plus project, which is just the first lot, the north lot. But some of the eligible expenses, like I said, would go towards streets, water, sewer, potentially rail line. It'd have to be a rail spur that would extend to other lots because it's got to be for a public purpose. It can't just be for one private entity. Mm-hmm. So they'd have to build it out so that way other lots could use it in the future. But Andrew Willis is our TIF attorney. He does a good job of explaining things. He really helped me kind of work through the process in my mind because the law requires us as a CDA to recommend approval, and then the council has to approve. And we go back and forth on a couple of occasions just to make sure that we got everything straightened out and done correctly. But Andrew does a good job of keeping us on track. So redevelopment plan passed, and then the redevelopment agreement passed as well too, which is the contract that we use to establish between us and the MEDC because they're going to be the redeveloper. And basically what that contract states is for a 15-year period of time, MEDC is going to be able to collect tax increment dollars from the improvements out at the business park to go ahead and pay off any indebtedness that would result from the build out of the street, the water, the sewer, or potentially rail line. And I won't go into detail as far as all the inclusions within that contract. Needless to say, I think that we've got ourselves pretty well covered. The one thing I always want to remind people and developers when we do these projects, ultimately, if there's a shortfall, let's say the valuation comes in less than what we predicted, that's the responsibility of the redeveloper. The taxpayers never have to foot that bill. So it's not an obligation of the city of McCook. It's always an obligation of the redeveloper, and in this case, it's the MEDC.
Now, this one went back and forth. You recessed, you went to the council, you recessed. To what? Did a bunch of those, didn't you?
Not the kind of recess that you're thinking.
Not the recess, no. But you kind of went back and forth,
didn't
you?
Went back and forth quite a bit. I get to put a community development agency on my resume now, so.
I told the council they need to go. So like when it's the CDA, they hold their hat this way, and then when it's the council, they turn it back, and then they go. So that way they remember.
Where they're at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty confusing, but at the same time, you have to go through these things for these different laws that are put in place by the state. But it's good that we have them there so we can look back if there is any problems, say, well, we went through the process correctly. It's a little confusing, but it's needed.
And the council sits as, I guess, just to avoid confusion, the council is designated as our community development agency, the council members. So it's two distinct bodies. You've got the council and you've got the community development agency, both comprised of council members, but two distinct entities, and both have an obligation and a responsibility under the community development law with respect to redevelopment projects. And so we try to make sure that we follow the statutory language, go back and forth, you know, when we're told that we're supposed to do that, make sure that there are separate resolutions coming from both the CDA and the council to comply with the law. And we did that with both the redevelopment plan and the redevelopment agreement.
All right, do we move on to consent agenda?
Then the last one was, we did the North Point.
So, North Point, okay.
So, and that one is near and dear to my heart because we've been working on that for 10 years. 2013 is when we started the redevelopment plan, and I was still city attorney at the time. I wasn't even the city manager. But there are six houses that have been built out already at North Point. And over the course of the past few years, we've done a lot of development projects. We've vacated the existing lots. We've turned the lots into a new subdivision. We've annexed a strip of land that was just west of West 7th Street, so that way we can connect the residential properties that will be developed to 7th Street, and then also 9th and R Street. 9th will be developed. And then also we rezoned some of that land that was agriculture. We turned it to residential, so that way it would comply with our zoning ordinances. Ultimately, the plan is to build 27 houses out there. And in order to do so, we need tax increment financing. We don't have developers knocking down the door of McCook or MEDC saying, hey, we want to go ahead and build out McCook, and we're willing to go ahead and put in the infrastructure. We've tried really hard to get developers to come in and build out McCook, and they've all said the same thing. It's too expensive. And we can go ahead and build in Omaha or Lincoln or wherever else. It's easier for us to mobilize. We don't have to travel, and everything is pretty much guaranteed. In this case, there's a lot of costs and extra work that you may not see with other projects. And so what we're doing last night, or what we did last night, was the first phase of North Point that was built out in 2015, 16, and 17, because there were three separate phases. The valuations of the property, so there are six houses. The valuations of those properties, we've all seen what real estate has done as far as increases in assessed valuations over the years. They've all increased in valuations to the point where there's more tax increment dollars than what we originally thought there was going to be. And so we are going to have the first note paid off, we're assuming, in 2025, just based upon the numbers. We think that that's when that's going to get paid off. There's going to be an additional 7 years of tax increment financing available under the first redevelopment plan. That first redevelopment plan assumed that there may be the possibility that there may be some dollars left at the end of the term that could be utilized, or when the note got paid off, that could be utilized for more development. So there is language that was built in the first redevelopment plan that says, hey, if this gets paid off early, you can utilize the remaining tax increment financing dollars that are available for the second phase, or a second phase of development if need be. We think there's going to be about $280,000 in tax increment financing dollars that would be available to build out the second and the third phases of North Point, which would include the streets, the water, the sewer, and other public improvements that we need in order to develop that neighborhood. And so we had to go through the process, because it was a 5% change in the TIF, we had to go through the process of the full public hearing, amending the redevelopment plan because there's a substantial change, and then creating the new TIF note, which we did last night. So now the second and third phase of North Point, so we talk about building additional streets to the north of current R Street, and then also building 9th Street off of R Street, so that way you've got a connected area. We can use the $280,000 from the first six properties to go ahead and help pay for those infrastructure improvements. So it won't just be those dollars that are captured on lots 7 through 27 or 28. It'll also be the dollars that are captured off of lots 1 and 6 that have already been developed, just so that way we can make sure that we can pay for those development costs, get those developers in. Charlie spoke yesterday from the MEDC and said that they're talking to developers. We've talked with MEDC about trying to get the bid specs done on a street project in the short term. We're thinking that the possibility may be there to do some stuff this fall if everything goes well. Of course, we don't control that. But we would like to bring some stuff to the council as far as a spec for them to approve, and then we see if we get some bids. But all this had to happen in order for us to get to that point. And the more TIF dollars we can put towards this, the more we can build out the project.
And I'd also like to point out the housing study that was done, was it January?
Mm-hmm.
We're 198 houses or 190 some houses that were short in McCook. And so I know 27 isn't a lot, but that's a huge dent. I mean, what, how many have we created in the last 10 years? You know, not that many really, but 27 new possible houses with 100-foot by 100-foot lots, that's pretty darn good. So I'm really excited about that, and I want to thank the city and Charlie for all the work that they're doing, and as well as the housing director there.
And MEDC, you know, they've done a fantastic job of prioritizing housing. I mean, that's been their priority. You know, we do have LB 840 dollars. Housing is allowable under the redevelopment plan as a qualifying use. And they know, you know, based upon the studies, that without housing, McCook is not going to make it. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to get housing. We've got to get creative. We've got to figure out some way to get these properties built so that way we've got places for people to live that want to live in McCook. So it requires some thinking outside of the box at times.
Consent agenda, you had a number of items there. Anything pulled for discussion?
Nothing was pulled.
I already got a Heritage Days one in there.
Heritage
Days
exactly.
Coming up here in a couple of months. There you go.
Yeah.
And really, no action items after that? Went right to the council comments. No,
yeah, we had to admit, because I forgot to include the update on the swimming
there
pool
you go.
In the ballpark. So we just did a quick update. Swimming pool is moving along fast. Bonds are going to be sold here at the beginning of August, with closing to occur in the middle of August. Carruthers, actually, I drove by the pool this morning. I saw that they had their crew on site. They were already looking at the pool today. They will be doing demolition here in the short term. And then Randy... Stramel. Sorry, man, my mind is just not working today. He was present last night and gave an update on his plan, or him mm-hmm. and Chad Graff's plan to move the bathhouse, the facade of the bathhouse, further to the south. And so he's been talking to Carruthers and is working on that.
Yeah, he also mentioned there's a fund at M&B Bank for the they're trying to get some money to help fund the movement of that project. So if anyone wants there, it's under the – I can't remember what the name of it is. You probably have to reach out to Randy. But they're trying to get a little bit of money to help for – which Carruthers is helping a ton with the crane and different things there. They've already gotten – they said maybe here once when Carruthers gets there, they can pretty much pick it up and move it until they – get funding, I think, for it. But
he talked about the size of the facade in comparison to the blue wall that got moved into McCook via crane a few years ago, and it's actually probably smaller in size. It's going to be easier to move. They're talking about splitting it into three components and mm-hmm. moving it that way. So
yeah, it seems like it's a very doable project. And also July 20th, the sale of the bonds. You want to talk about that?
Oh, that's going to just be the advertisement. We're going to advertise on July 20th, and then the sale is going to occur like on August 2nd, I think, and then we'll confirm it on the 3rd. So, and then we talked about the ballpark, too. We're still working through the purchase agreement. Staff has been working on that. Our attorney has been working with us. Purchase agreement would be between the College Foundation and the City of McCook. Just got to make sure that the city knows what we're buying, you know, and so that is important to have defined terms within the purchase agreement and understanding between those two entities that the City of McCook is going to get what it expected at the onset of this process. So we got a stakeholders meeting tonight to talk about it in a little bit more detail, and hopefully we keep on moving forward.
August is going to be a pretty big month coming up.
Yeah, we got budget, and we got a lot of stuff going on right now. So, but
we have a budget retreat too. That's the fun part. Is it's not really a retreat. It's a
We get Jared and council members to run for council, thinking they're going to get to go on a retreat, and the retreat's at the council chambers. So, like, I get to go on a retreat. I guess it's probably worth being on council for 4 years.
Could you decorate the room like a?
A tropical theme.
Yeah.
Yes, that's not a bad idea. We should do that. Is actually a pretty good idea.
I ran again, so I guess it's my own fault.
We should give them loungers and stuff like that. They could go ahead and wear their Tommy Bahamas and floral shorts. And
there you go.
Bring a little sandbox or something like that. Just have a little field and you're at a beach.
I wish there was some way that we could. It would be kind of, maybe when we get the new pool built, we could go ahead and wave the pool. We could go ahead and just hold it in the lazy river. We'll just float around and talk about budget.
It's that time again to talk budget, isn't it?
Yeah, this week is going to be busy. All of our department heads are presenting their budgets to Leanne and myself, and we're going to start working through it, seeing where we're at with each of the requests. And then, unfortunately for me and Leanne, then we got to be the no people before it even gets to the council and say, I don't know if this one's going to work this year. Nah, I don't know if this is going to work. And we try to prioritize. Our department has to do a good job of prioritizing their most important needs. And then if there are some additional things and we can fit it into the budget, we'll do that. There are just a lot of competing interests this year, you know, and obviously inflation is still a topic. We're not immune from that. And so we just need to do our best to try to prioritize and figure out where we need to put the money, be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars, and hopefully continue to operate McCook as efficiently and effectively as we have.
So first meeting for the month of August, looking down the calendar there, that is August.
I think it's the 7th.
The 7th, very good.
I think it's the 7th, yeah. So we've got five Mondays this month, so it gives us a chance to kind of get caught up on some things.
Council meeting, planning commission meeting.
We'll have a planning commission meeting in August, and then we just have a lot. So the planning commission meeting will be on the 14th. We will have the budget retreat on the 15th, and then the council meeting then after that will be on the 21st. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have three readings of the budget. And we'll see where we're at. Might have to have a special meeting depending on what our needs are. We do our best to try to keep our requests down as best we can on the mm-hmm. property tax side, but we have to be able to provide the services that the people in McCook require.
Sure.
And so we're very mindful, but also we all have to be realistic, you know, both on our end and then also, you know, as a community. Hey, you know, we've got to do some certain things in order to be able to operate, and sometimes, you know, that includes, you know, having to adjust, you know, your property tax request. So we'll see. You know, I don't know where we're going to be at yet. I'll have a better idea after this week.
Guys, thank you very much. City Manager Nate Schneider, thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
Councilman Jaron Muhlenkamp, keep up the good work.
No, I mean, I don't know what I do here. I'm just kind of. He talked most of the time, and I was just kind of,
I tell you what, we've got a good council.
Sure.
You know, and they do a fantastic job. They've had a lot of issues thrown at them, and not always fastballs. They're sometimes getting curveballs and splitters and junk and spitballs.
Hey, this guy knows all about some of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and so it's not always easy being a council member. But it's easy to criticize and you know, sometimes, you know, assume that things are not being done the way that maybe people want. They do a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that's on their plate and a lot of things to think about and growth and all those things are important, but also just being able to operate and run, that's their primary function. And so now we're getting into the meat of what they do, budget season, and they're going to put in a lot of time and effort to make a budget that's going to be workable for our community.
So. You had a good curveball back in the day along with your heater and your change, right?
Heater, I would, that's 78 miles per hour heat.
Hey, it's all about placement. It's
there
all
you
about
go.
Placement. Yeah,
that's right.
I had a curveball, I'll just say that.
Sure.
Didn't need a changeup because I already, my fastball was a changeup.
Did you throw a split?
No.
Try?
I did throw a circle change, but it was like not that much slower than my fastball, so.
Tell you what,
had some movement on it.
It did have a little bit of movement. Yeah. It moved, you know, in on a right-handed pitcher's
sure.
or batter, so it did work. But it wasn't my go-to. It was definitely get a few strikes and then throw a curveball, you know, and hopefully they don't. You know, I went to Scut one year and I threw a couple curveballs and hung them, and they hit them a long way.
Yeah. and you're looking at them. You over know, the left field fence, weren't you?
Most of those in our districts, you know, weren't great hitters, so I could get away with it. But then you face some kids that have been playing, you know, year-round baseball
right.
and just hit it 350, 400 feet, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Yeah, but at least you got to play in a nice park.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was, and then after that, we went to the College World Series as a team,
there you
so
go.
That was fun. So,
yeah.
You know, I was humiliated, but then I had fun after, so.
There you go. Guys, thanks again. We'll see you next month.
Thanks, Rich.